Concerning the video yesterday about the comet, I meant to point out to you how it thrilled me so much that this guy, Louis Vega, this unknown guy, he kept calling the planet or the comet this thing. It's like, look at this thing. I thought that was so great. Watch it again. He keeps calling it this thing. This thing was an object created by God to be a pointer, to be a marker. And God sent it into our solar system for this purpose, for this time. Go watch it again. I wish I had said all this yesterday. I did say some stuff yesterday about it, but I wanted to say more. I loved it. This thing, this is just, it's great. All right, so if you go to my website, martinzender.com, you'll see specifics about the Indianapolis conference. I'm not going to talk much about it on this video. I'm just pointing you in that direction. There will be an email associated with it, or there already has been an email associated with it. And I want this conference to be big. Why not? I'm going to a lot of trouble to get there. So is Waylon Dabbs, and so is Alan Hess. And so we want you to go to a lot of trouble to get there, because I know it's a pain. I know it's an expense. I mean, it's a pain and an expense to me as well. But once you get there, if you've never been to a conference, once you get there, there's no place you'd rather be. It's like, how could I have thought of not coming here? That's exactly the feeling you have. And we're gonna hang out together in between the talks. I'm pretty sure I'm going to talk about the Aeonian times. I'm going to show you a calendar, God's calendar. I've done this before, but I don't think I've ever put it on video recently. I mean, so I could change my mind, but I really am interested in God's times, and I like the big picture. And so I'm going to show you the orderly God, and I'm going to show you a symmetrical God, a God of time. He calls himself the Aeonian God at the end of Romans. And so he is a God who is not just out there in some fuzzy forever, some mystic haze of unknowability. No, God is present. He is going through these things with us. He condescends to be with us during these times that his son, Jesus Christ, created. Jesus Christ created the eons, Hebrews 11 or 1:3. Yeah, I think it's Hebrews 1:3. Eons were created by Jesus Christ as a framework for God to display himself and reveal himself. Now I'm going back to Matthew chapter 7. I talked to you yesterday about the crapped gate. I meant to say cramped gate, but it's one hell of a great Freudian slip. Enter through the cramped gate, for broad is the gate and spacious is the way which is leading away into destruction, and many are those entering through it. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet what a cramped gate and narrowed way is the one leading into life, and few are those who are finding it. Take heed of those false prophets who are coming to you in the apparel of sheep. This is the secret of lawlessness, that the false prophets today are prophesying to you peace and prosperity. But they're doing it, people like Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and all these prosperity, name it, claim it, God's kids type people, that you deserve every great thing. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're putting you to sleep. They're not taking you to the meat of the Word of God. They only care about their temporary comfort, and they only care about that they look like they're thriving, because why would God be with any forsaken people? I once went to this was in 1984, on another bicycle trip across the United States. I was staying with people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the prosperity breadbasket right there. That's the cradle of the crap. As far as God, you know, will take care of your every need. I mean, he will, but God will give you luxuries. And this guy actually said that if you just had enough faith, you could be the best dressed person in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you're driving a lousy car, then it's evidence that you're not living up to God's expectations for you. These are wolves in the apparel of sheep, yet inside they are rapacious wolves. Rapacious, they're hungry, they can't get enough food, they can't get enough money, they can't get enough from you. From their fruits you shall be recognizing them. Not from thorns are they culling grapes, nor from star thistles figs. You're not going to get figs from these people. You're not going to get sustenance. You're not going to get food that lasts you. You're going to get junk food that satisfies you for a second. Then when you leave the door, you have to try to drum it up again. The best foods are like fats, you know, that satiate you, and they are long lasting, and they dole out their energy to you. That's what the truth does. Thus, every good tree ideal fruit is producing, yet the rotten tree noxious fruit is producing. A tree cannot, I'm getting to the main point here, hang on. A tree cannot bear noxious fruit, neither is a rotten tree producing ideal fruit. Okay, Jesus, I think we got the point there. Now, 19, every tree not producing ideal fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I should have edited. If they would have given me the editing job here, I could have really made this a lot more tight, you know. I'm not being serious. Verse 21. This is an amazing passage. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will be entering into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who is doing the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will be declaring to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many powerful deeds? Yet then I shall be avowing to them that I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who is hearing these sayings of mine and is doing them shall be likened to a prudent man who builds his house on the rock. The rain descended, the rivers came, the winds blow, and they lunge at that house, and it does not fall, for it has been founded on the rock. This is what I'm talking about, founded on the rock. Now, here's the question. Where are these people coming from? How can it be that there are people saying, Lord, Lord, but will not be entering into the kingdom? Not everyone's saying, Lord, Lord. How can this be? I'm told, even by the Concordant Publishing Concern, that everyone who says, Lord, Lord, everyone who names the name of Christ, even though they might not know anything about Paul, even though they get everything wrong, even though they believe in eternal torment, and even though they believe in free will, even though they're, you know, ignorant of the things of God in every profound way, somehow they're still in the faith. Well, they're just misguided, Martin. They're just confused. But confusion is deadly. Confusion is Satan's number one tool to disqualify people from membership in either the body of Christ or the circumcision evangel. People die by confusion. Satan blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving so that the illumination of the glory of Christ does not irradiate them. That is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Now, if our evangel, Paul's evangel, is covered, also it is covered in those who are perishing for the eon, in whom the god of this eon blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. Unbelievers are those with blinded apprehensions, so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, that is our evangel, Paul's evangel, the evangel of grace, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. And it starts with the evangel being covered, and this is done in those who are perishing, who are called unbelievers, and it is done by the god of this eon, that is Satan. So ignorance is fatal, aeonially fatal. But no, not everyone saying Christ's name is his. Many will be declaring to me, that's a key word, I'm going to analyze that today at the end of the week. 22. Verse 22, many will be declaring to me in that day. What day? This day, the day we're in, and you're living among the many. This is where the love of many will wax cold, because many are thinking that they're in the faith, but they are instead going down the path that leads to destruction. They're not on the cracked gate. No, my friends, they're on the wide gate, the spacious way. For broad is the gate, and spacious is the way, which is leading into destruction, aeonian destruction, and many are entering through it. And if you look at the rallies and the ceremonies of these famous evangelists today who preach prosperity, these are the apostate Israelites. They're still part of the secret Israel. They're still part of it, but they're the spacious, broad Israelites. They're the deceived Israelites. They're the ones who are going to fall away. They're the apostates. But from that group, from Joel Osteen's congregation, there are going to come a few out of that very congregation who are going to be woke up, who are going to realize, crap, we need to go through the craft gate. We've been going through the sweet smelling fern decorated curtain draped spacious Broadway, and they're going to realize that they've screwed up. So this is the ground from which the true Israel is going to come. I'm going to call, Jesus said through Isaiah, from the north, south, east, west, bring my people to Israel. They're coming from these people. There are different categories of hidden Jews, you see, different categories from the house of Israel. They're the total apostates. There are those who have an inclination to go into the deeper things. There are those people who would not in their lives be caught dead in Joel Osteen's church, or in Joyce Meyer's church, or in the other guy from Oklahoma. Thank God I can never think of his name. I thought of it yesterday. I can't think of it today. All these Shuler types, prosperity, smiles, the robes, they're all happy all the time. And they say that unless God's with you, unless you're happy, God's not with you. So who are these people? These are the part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel who are completely apostate, who will not make it into the kingdom. And they're going to be shocked because Christ is going to return. And in that day, and they're going to say to him, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy? And what's happening at these prophecy conferences? People are prophesying, but they're false prophets because Satan is invigorating them. They want to see signs, but they're not looking at true signs. They're looking at miracles. They want trying to raise people from the dead. And they did this in his name. They can't understand it. It's the secret of lawlessness, that the most lawless things being done today, the most satanic things being done today, the most evil things being done today are being done in the name of the Lord. Lord's name, Christ's name is attached to it. This is why I've been telling you for years that to take Christ, these are the people who are taking Christ's name in vain. These people might have never said a bad word in their lives. They may never have said, God damn, or Jesus Christ, my back is killing me today. They may have never said that. And they think that that's taking the Lord's name in vain. I've never said, God damn. God damn, it's hot. God damn, why are these people not coming to church with that? They've never said that. So they think they've escaped breaking that commandment. But no, that has nothing to do with taking the Lord's name in vain. This is it. There's a vast group of Christians today who are members, I believe, of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, who pervert God's name, pervert his ways. They may never have said a four-letter word in their lives, may never have put God's name next to the word damn, or they may never have said Jesus Christ and not meaning it in the quote right way. And yet every single day they're taking his name, taking it upon themselves in vain. Vain means it's useless. In vain, you're taking it for no purpose. And here's evidence of it. Here is the nuts and bolts. Here's the map. These are those people. Didn't we do this in your name? We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons. That's what they're doing in the churches. They're cast in the so-called Pentecostal places. They're casting out demons. And in your name do many wonderful deeds. And this probably includes good deeds for other people. They're very humanitarian. They paint themselves as altruistic. And they're like Bill Gates, you know, philanthropists. And they're putting his name on it. But it's in vain. It's for uselessness, because they're not going to be able to trade that in the last days for aeonian capital, because they never have been interested in the true God. This is what Israel's going to be awakened for. Those even in the congregation, in Benny Hinn's congregation, in the other all the lunatics from Oklahoma, the true Israel will come out from among them. But I would say it's going to be maybe 10%. I'm just throwing out a number there. I have nothing to base this on scripturally. There is a verse that says, I will take one from a city, two from a country. No, one from a city, two from, and bring them to Zion. I got to look that verse up. He's going to take one from a household, a city, a country, two from, and bring them to Zion. So it's one or two. One or two bring to Zion. I'm going to bring that verse to you, and I'll have that for you on Monday. Unless I forget, then I won't bring it to you at all. All right, so where are these? How could it be? And I get conflicting reports, conflicting articles really from the Concordant Publishing concern on this. There's a gray area in their teaching because they think that if you just name the name of Christ, you're in good shape. And I've read from A. E. Nock actually believes that he gives people too much credit for just naming the name of Christ. And he thinks that anyone who just names the name of Christ today or has a metal fish applique on their car, they're automatically in the body of Christ. And if that's the case, then the snatching away of the body of Christ will be of the left behind variety. It will be total chaos on the earth, doom, destruction, death. I reject that scenario completely. It's absurd, as I've said. And so my teaching on this accounts for this passage in Matthew 7. It accounts for it. And in another place, A. E. Nock writes again that the snatching away of the body of Christ will by no means be the end of Christendom. Okay, but you said in another place that anybody who's in Christendom, we have to give them some slack. They're only ignorant. And yet, again, ignorance is Satan's main weapon. People die because of ignorance. So who are these people? They're church people. They're church people. You're warning them. I am warning them to drop the facade, leave the organization, pursue the truth. They're being told lies in the organized church. And they're going to be left behind. The world's not going to be left behind. The world will be left behind too, but they're going to be a vast, many will say to me in that day, they're going to be a vast group of people left behind, and it's going to be the same people who think that the world's going to be left behind. They're in for a terrible, terrible shock. And I'm including many of the people who are making videos. They're sincere, kind of, I think, and yet they're still thinking about God and Christ in relation to their own gain. They're trying to escape hell. And they want to go to heaven. They want to make sure they go to heaven. So you just have to be on the right side. If you want to go to heaven, you got to be on the right side. Well, that's not the right motivation. That's a selfish motivation. Our motivation is to follow God and Christ through the cramped gate, otherwise known as the cramped gate. And our motivation is to know Him, as Paul says. Fellowship of His sufferings, in communion with Him. And it is through trial and suffering that He brings many sons into glory, sons and daughters. We're among them. What I've been showing you in Matthew 7 and in Isaiah 43 are the people who will be of the circumcision. And either they're going to rise or fall. The tribulation becomes a litmus test for them. And Revelation 2, how Christianity really has been fascinated by that passage of the message to the seven ecclesias. They think themselves as some of the seven ecclesias. And I'm saying, and the Concordant would poo-poo that to death. How can they be? They're not members of those seven ecclesias. They're members of the body of Christ. I say, let them be what they think they are, because they are, they will be, if they're of those who are called, if they are of those who are culled, also from this vast group of religious people, they will be among those seven ecclesias, and those will be instructions for them during the tribulation. Those instructions and those rewards, we're going to analyze this, fit the time of the end, fit the days of the tribulation more than they do any time in the first century. This is the belief of Bullinger, that these ecclesias are future. It's the belief of Nock. I was starting to doubt it a little bit. I did research a couple days ago, and now I'm firm that these are future ecclesias. They may also have been past ecclesias, but they will exist in the future. We're going to get into details on that. Probably Monday, it's going to be the Valley of Dry Bones. I think I've exhausted this topic. And again, go to martinzender.com to get information on the Indianapolis conference. I want you to go to a lot of trouble to get there. I think it's important for us to gather. No matter what side of the country you're on, the East Coast or the West Coast, Indianapolis is called the crossroads of America. And it's a great place to meet. Andy May is a great host. I had spoken at a conference there once before. And I would like to see you and meet you there. Look, we're all going to make it. We'll make it divided or we'll make it together. We are moving on to maturity. I'm talking with you. I'm emailing you. I'm hearing from you. You are going on to maturity. I am thrilled about that. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I'm thrilled to be just a small part of helping to feed you the truth, to show you these passages, to never let you forget our evangel. As I feed you, I'm feeding myself. I need this too. So whether we're apart or together, whether we're drowsing or we're awake, we will all be, because of our association with Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 6, we will all be snatched away together with the dead in Christ to meet the Lord in the air, and our bodies will be changed into immortal bodies, and then we shall be ever with the Lord.